Eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I'm glad he cares for me. Amen? Cares for you. I mentioned a moment ago that we had the 250 this morning, but we had 225 in Sunday school. And normally our driving crowd for church is about 50, between 50 and 100, depending on the Sunday. So it was way down the Sunday. I wonder if that has anything to do with the message I preached last Sunday morning. Maybe they didn't want to come back. No? You reap what you sow. Y'all don't remember what I preached last Sunday morning. Turn, if you would, your Bibles once again to Colossians chapter 9. I'm going to read over in Romans chapter 5, but turn over to Colossians chapter 9. I'm going to preach again tonight on the joy of the Lord. And there'll be a little repetition tonight of what we've preached. This is about the fourth message on joy. And just why are there so many Christians? Why are there so many people who don't have the joy of the Lord? And that's what we want to address. Colossians chapter 1, you turn over there, but I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Some of y'all are familiar with this passage. And patience and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful passage. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I'm going to read that last verse again. And not only so, but we also joy in God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to joy in the Lord, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. He is the expression of God. He is how we get to know God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians chapter 1, and we won't read this entire passage. We read it last time, and so we won't take the entire chapter again. But look at Colossians chapter 1, and look with me about verse 9. It says, let me get over there to it. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Let's pray. Lord, bless us, if you would, the reading of your word tonight. We do pray that you would just again, as we preach upon the subject of joy, help us, Lord, to see the value, to see the importance of knowing you more. We ask this in your name. Amen. We think about joy, we understand and know that joy begins with God. That if His creatures were given the capacity to have joy, it must have originated with the Creator. We know that joy began with God, begins with God. He is the Eternal One. If He did not have joy, then how could He give that same capacity to others to have joy, to His creatures? But why do so many people today not have the joy of the Lord? These are the question we're trying to answer. The world and the contemporary Christianity and understanding of joy is absolutely skewed. We think about the world's understanding of joy, and their understanding of joy is humanistic in its philosophy, that true joy comes from within. You know, it's mustered up from within. Comes through self-esteem and even the New Age movement of of meditation and all these things brings about humanism. That we, as human beings, are the answer to joy. Absolutely not. We are not the answer to joy. God is the answer to joy. Then we have the self-centered philosophies of Christianity today, and I would just call it the contemporary Christian movement today, which is self-centered. A lot of times in this music and other areas, very self-centered, very touchy-feely. Is that a good word? It's do everything you can to make Christianity palatable to the greatest number of people. Let's water down what our message is. Let's water down our preaching. Let's preach only on love and not on God's wrath. Let's preach only on God's graciousness and kindness and comfort and never on God's judgment. You know what I'm saying? And therefore, their understanding of Christianity has put God in a box that He was never intended to be put in. Their God is absolutely a different God than we serve. I mean, according to the Bible. Now, they're serving the Lord and doing those, but their God, they have drawn their God with a different paintbrush and a different picture than what the Bible has truly depicted Him as. I don't know if there's still copies in the bookstore or not of the book called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. But if you've never read that book and you are a reader, even if you're not a reader, you ought to read a good book now and again. I'm telling you, you read the book, it'll totally change the way you think about God. God is so holy. God is so big. And God is so mighty. We need to have a proper view of God. So a lot of Christianity today has taken God and made Him very palatable to everybody. Christianity today in a lot of areas has become very man-centered. Can I just remind you the gospel is not man-centered? The gospel is not man-centered. Yes, He died for us. Yes, He gave His life for us. Yes, He cares for us. Yes, He saved us from the wrath of God. But listen, it's all about Jesus on Calvary. It's all about Jesus and the sacrifice He made. It's not nothing about us. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And again, today in Christianity, it has become very self-centered. And that joy is found in that self-centeredness and humanism. Can we again remind you that true joy comes when we give much attention to God and a lot less attention to ourselves? It's when we make much of God and who He is. Brother Zellner brought up a while ago the word glory. And we've gone through a conference several years back with Brother Stewart, the term give God the glory, or the glory of God. That just simply means who and what God is, His attributes. Listen, absolutely should give attention to God and His attributes and who and what He is. Man, what a great and mighty God we serve. True joy comes from worshiping and adoring Him. Adoration directed towards Him. Joy over the long haul of our Christian life comes by continually developing our knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, walking with Him, being strengthened with joyfulness. I used this illustration a little bit last week, but I want to use it to its entirety today, tonight. We'll just call him Joe. Joe got saved. Joe was, you know, a sinner like everybody else, but he had a few nasty habits when he got saved. You know, he cussed a lot and he drank a little bit and these type of things. And so we just kind of make Joe generic. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm not pointing anybody out tonight, Brother Wiggins, nobody. Just kidding. We're just making Joe generic. Joe gets saved. God, I mean, miraculously and gloriously saves Joe, and I'm telling you, his sins are forgiven, and I tell you, he got a good dose of salvation. And so, Joe begins to get involved. He can't get enough. I mean, the joy of the Lord is his strength. I mean, his cup's overflowing. He's at every church service. He's at soul winning. You know, he's there. If there's a work day, he's at the church. I mean, mowing, doing whatever he can. He's helping teach children's church. He's in the rotation up. I mean, he's doing everything he can. But one day, one week, he slips and he cusses at work. Maybe a few of his friends say, "See, I told you. You really ain't got a good dose of religion. You're just the same old guy." Maybe he just becomes discouraged and go home and gets him out of the beer that he put in the very back of the refrigerator, you know. New Christian. And he falls a little bit. All of a sudden he misses a service. We must understand that joy does not come merely from activity. That staying busy at the church does not make you spiritual. Let me say that again. Being busy at the church is a good thing, but it does not necessarily make you spiritual. As we think about Joe, as he began his life, his new life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that flash of joy that you get when you first get saved, and man, what a joyous time it is. Even at the age of 6, I'll never forget, man, I was bowling over with joy. I told you the story just a few weeks later. I had the opportunity to witness to my cousin and led my cousin to the Lord at the age of 6 or 7 years old. My dad, you know, helped some, but I was excited about it. And that initial joy we feel when we get saved, but I'm telling you right now, that initial joy that we receive at salvation will not carry us through. Can I just say that again? It will not continue on the same level unless some things are put in place. Thank God for good activities and being involved. But joy does not grow by doing. So how does joy grow? As we think about it, once again, and kind of a little repetitive here, joy comes, and joy can only be found in God. I read it a moment ago, Romans chapter 5, that joy is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. In God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ that we find joy. I love that reference when I came. What a great reference. Through Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Again, Joe had that initial joy that we receive through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But true, authentic joy is absolutely only found in Jesus. I'm telling you, the world depends on a lot of external things to bring them joy. When you and I could name many of them, we could go through a big list. I'll give you a few. There's many people today depending, their joy is depending upon a good economy. Well, they're sadly disappointed today. Right? Boy, I feel for the people who work for American Airlines. But many people today and the world today depending upon their joy, depending upon good economy or job security or raise or promotion. Or I mentioned this one last week too, hobbies. A lot of people put a lot of stock in their hobbies to get them over the hump. Pleasures, good health, cars, houses, even relationships. Again, you can take a vacation to the Bahamas and you can experience some happiness and get away from things. But I'm telling you, when you come back, those things are still there. The problems are still there. The stress is still there. See, the key is that we don't get joy by simply going somewhere and looking at something and having a vacation. True joy and rest and peace and comfort comes from resting in the Lord Jesus Christ now. You'd be better off getting right with God now and then going to the Bahamas. You'd be better off getting rest with the Lord now and finding in His biblical term, in His bosom, resting in His bosom and getting the absolute care and comfort that you need at His side. Because that care and comfort you get from going to the ball game, or that care and comfort you get from whatever relaxation you get at fishing, whatever it may be, playing golf, it only lasts for just a fleeting moment. But true joy is forever. I love that. My joy doesn't have to depend upon my circumstances. You know what? If I don't get a vacation this year, I can still have joy. I can still have happiness. All these things. The world puts a lot of stock in these external sources for joy. But understand that God's joy does not exist apart from knowing Him. In other words, a lost person cannot truly understand and have genuine, authentic joy because they do not have Christ as Savior. It's the same thing we talk about love. A lost person who has never accepted Christ as their Savior cannot experience true love. True love is found in Jesus Christ. True love is found through a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what that means biblically? It means that a person who is married, who is not saved, cannot genuinely love his wife or her husband to the extent of what a Christian can love their spouses. You understand? That goes along with forgiveness. A lost person will have a more difficult time forgiving their spouses than a Christian would, because of the love that Christ has in our hearts. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? The grace we can exhibit because God's extended His grace to us. The love that we can show and exhibit to others because of the love and the grace that's been extended to us. Aren't you glad for the grace and love of God? And I'm glad that joy, and I understand that joy is found in knowing Him. Man has no ability or capacity to know and live a life of joy apart from salvation through Jesus Christ. We must know God to have joy. And then secondly, joy grows as our knowledge of Christ grows. So joy grows as our knowledge and our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it grows. It's like filling the tank with gas, you know. You want more joy? Fill the tank with gas, you know. Fill your spiritual cup. As our knowledge of Christ grows, we know this is true by way of life experiences. And there's some good illustrations here, if you think about this for a moment. In our own relationships, in our own life experiences, it works the same way. For instance, snow skiing at first does not bring joy. If any of you, I know teenagers are a little different, but even teenagers, the first day, it's really not a lot of fun. It doesn't bring a lot of joy. It's difficult. It takes a little bit to learn what you're doing. But once you learn it, it is very, very fun and absolutely gives some joy. And you know what happens? It's like riding a bike. You go back the next year skiing, and it's amazing how the body does this, but you don't forget what you've learned. And so the first day you get back out on the slopes, you're able to start right where you left off, for the most part. Depends on whether you've gained 40 pounds or lost 30, you know. But you can start right where you left off, and you know what happens? You get a little better. The next year you do the same thing, you get a little better. Experience and the growth of experience brings about with it the ability for an event, you know, anything in sports or anything that we experience, even our hobbies, whatever it may be, but the life experiences, they become more enjoyable the more we do it. Everybody with me? I enjoy woodworking. I know Brother Zellner enjoys woodworking. But when I first went to the cabinet shop and started working for the man I worked for, Mr. Payton, which some of y'all met him, it was difficult at first. You know, I hadn't run a lot of table saws. Try to take a piece of 4x8 sheet of plywood and run it through a table saw by yourself, balancing it on your head, you know. But after a while, it wasn't just work to me. I enjoyed it. Took a little while. I was a teenager. Took a little while, but I enjoyed it. The things you experience in life, the more you do them, the more joy you have in it. Human relationships work the same way. You think about your marriage. The more you know your spouse and deal with them in wisdom, notice the way I worded that, the more you know your spouse and deal with them in wisdom, the more marriage is enjoyable. So as you get married, I was 18 when I got married. My wife was 17. Man, we were young. We're old now. And we started that relationship. And we thought, man, we were all in love and the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? The first couple of years. And then marriage sets in. And then you began to really get to know each other and really get to learn each other. But if it's done right and you deal with your spouse in wisdom, that means you learn from your mistakes. You know? You learn how to speak women. Women, you learn how to speak man. I mean, it does. And I use the analogy all the time that we're just wired different. It's just, we're equal but yet different. God made us different. And as you learn those differences and you learn how to meet the needs of your wife and learn how to meet the needs of your husband, in other words, deal with them in wisdom. And if you will deal with them in wisdom, marriage becomes more and more and more enjoyable. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Me and my wife will celebrate 20 years this summer. It's hard to believe. And I love her today absolutely more than I loved her when we first got married. There's not even it's out of the ballpark. And our joy in our marriage, and though we still have, we never fight, I'm sorry. The preacher and his wife never fight. And after you buy some oceanfront property in Arizona, whatever the case is, I'll sell you some. But, as we work through our marriages, it's become more and more enjoyable. That's the way it's supposed to be. In any relationship, as you spend more time with someone, if you're a Christian, and then you deal with them in wisdom, if you're a parent here tonight, which most of us are, and you deal with your children and you parent in wisdom, in other words, learning from your mistakes, learning from the Bible, going to marriage conferences like we're having this week, and you learn and you deal with your kids in wisdom, you know what happens? It becomes enjoyable. You remember when that child was first born, the joy it brought to your heart? You know you can have that same joy all throughout their life? That raising children doesn't have to be miserable? When you deal with them in wisdom. I still don't get it. I don't understand the concept of some parenting skills that the kids rule the house instead of the parents. Some of you here tonight and some on the internet, you do realize you're an adult and they're a kid, right? And most of the time you're bigger than they are. You say, well, you're not supposed to be a bully, but I'm bigger than you are. And you're going to throw a fit in the floor. I'm a lot stronger than you are, too. I believe I can stop you from doing that. Or I may not be able to stop you from the first one, but I guarantee you won't do the second one. But if you happen to do the second one, you may not do the third one. If you happen to do the third one, there'll be consequences. It may not happen the fourth time either. But you deal with them in wisdom. Train up a child the way they should go. When they're older, will not depart. Can I just encourage you, parents? I know we've got the marriage conference coming up at the end of this week, but, man, get your children in check before they're 6 years old. I'm telling you, you've got to deal with them in wisdom. If you don't deal with them in wisdom by the time they're 7 or 8, one of ours went a little longer, it just gets more and more difficult. Kids were meant to be enjoyed, not endured. It ought to be enjoyable to raise kids. Amen? I'm so thankful for my kids. My kids aren't perfect. But I'm so thankful for my kids. I appreciate them. It's a joy for me to be around my kids. And I hope it is for you as well. Again, the analogy tonight is this, that in our life experiences, the more we learn about something, whether it's even, I'll use one of my hobbies is fishing. The more I learn about fishing, the more I understand how fish act and what they do and how to target them, the more enjoyable it is for me to go fishing because I don't get skunked as often. When I go out, I actually catch something. It's more enjoyable because I know more about it. In our relationships with our kids or with our spouses, the more we know about them and how to deal with them in wisdom, that's the key, dealing with them in wisdom. It's learning from your mistakes, guys. Learning from your mistakes, ladies. And dealing with them in wisdom, the more enjoyable it becomes. The more I know about my wife, and I'm still learning things, the more I love her and appreciate her. And our relationship is enjoyable. As we think about all relationships should be dealt with in wisdom, okay? Now, let's look back at Colossians and once again, and we'll end with this tonight, as we did last Sunday night. And let's deal again with Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Through here. Paul gives the steps to joyfulness and thanksgiving. And the first step here is found, number one, know God to the fullest. In verse 10, look at verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. But here's the part. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, the steps to joyfulness, number one, is to increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To increase in the knowledge of Him. How do we do that? We do that through His Word. Let me state again. If you want to live a life of joy, if you want to have the joy of the Lord, then you're going to have to grow in the knowledge of Him. Just as you grow in the knowledge of your spouse, just as you grow in the knowledge of your children and dealing with them and so forth, so do you need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord in order to experience the joy that He intended for you to have. Let's make that point. He intended for you to have a life of joy. Absolutely, every day. And you can experience that every day. As you grow in the knowledge of Him, through His Word, obeying His will, through prayer, and these areas, knowing God to the fullest. We know also that there in verse 9 it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His," what? "Will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So the steps are simply knowing God and being filled with the knowledge of His will and wisdom and His understanding. Again, it's like spouses learning what to expect from each other, what the other ones would do. Have you ever been in a position where your spouse finishes your sentences? This is a good illustration now. Stay with me. Some of y'all look really tired. Have you been there? I mean, the longer you're married, I mean, pretty much my wife knows what I'm thinking at all times. Though every once in a while, I remind her, I say, "Quit reading between the lines. That's not what I meant." I say it much nicer than that. "Babe, I love you. Please quit reading between the lines." And every once in a while, she reminds me of that. But I mean, the longer you're married, the more you kind of know each other's thoughts, you know. You kind of know where you're at. And there's lots of times where she can finish my sentences or I can finish her sentences. Or we're thinking the very same thing, and when we say it, oh yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, sincerely, you know? Isn't that amazing? There's people who have worked together, you know, for 30 years, let's say, at a particular job, who get to know each other enough that they can do things for each other without even asking each other, because they know exactly what each other want. Same thing with our spouses. Can I tell you, the more you develop your relationship with Jesus Christ, the more you'll know what He wants? Simple as that. The more you develop your personal knowledge of Him, the greater you'll understand the will and spiritual wisdom for your life and for my life, which in turn brings joy. Which in turn brings joy. Can you say that tonight? Do you know God's... I'm not saying we can know His ways are above our ways. I understand that. But bringing it down, He brought it down to our level. How well do you know Him? How well do you know His thoughts? How well are you in His will? The more you know about Him, the greater opportunity you have to experience that joy. Verse 10, another step is to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. We understand this, that you absolutely, if you're going to experience joy, you have to walk worthy of the Lord. In other words, you've got to make right choices. You've got to make right choices every day. You've got to conduct yourself in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And as you conduct yourself in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, that leads to joy. In other words, you can't have the joy of the Lord if you have guilt. You can't experience the joy of the Lord if you have sin in your life. Now you may, let me rephrase that. You can't experience the joy to the fullest that God intended for you to have. I don't believe that just sin absolutely takes all your joy away, but it can. We know that because of David. But absolutely, sin in your life and that guilt that you have because of the Holy Spirit convicting you will rob you of your joy. Boy, we must walk worthy of the Lord. By the way, He gave everything for us. He's worthy of us to walk worthy of Him. Man, let's, and I use that word, and I try to use it in such a way, but I want to make the Lord proud of me. I want to please my Heavenly Father. And I fail many times miserably, but I want to do what's right. That's what we're saying. Walk worthy. Walk right. Make right life decisions daily. That leads to joy. Number 3, verse 11, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Look at that last statement there. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We are strengthened by exercising patience and being long-suffering. It is through patience and long-suffering that we are enabled to continue our walk with God over a long period of time. You understand that, right? It's by patience. And that's what Romans chapter 5 was saying a while ago. Through patience, and patience leads to that, and patience and long-suffering over a long period of time leads to joy. You've got to be patient with kids. You've got to be long-suffering with your children. If you be long-suffering and patient with them, it'll bring joy to your life. In your own life, we are strengthened by exercising patience and long-suffering, which leads to joyfulness. I want that joy that remains, don't you? The joy that remains is, again, by being patient and long-suffering with those around us. And by being patient and long-suffering through the trials, through the testings, and through the tribulations that are sent our way. As we think about Joe again, and again, just a neutral man, whatever, neutral circumstances, you think about Joe should have spent more time getting to know the Savior than the joy that he began with could remain and increase. Joe should have spent more time and been directed by others to get to know the Lord more. Then the joy he began with would have continued. But instead he lost his joy. Activities in the church do not produce joy. They should be the product of joy. Let's say that again. Activity is the outflow of being filled with the knowledge of Christ. It's a product of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It's a product we have as we get to know the Lord more. That product is joy. How is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ tonight? This is the core group here tonight. It's just us. If I was to sit down with you individually and just say, how's your Bible reading going? How's your prayer life? What sins maybe you have in your life that are causing you to be robbed of your joy? Are you increasing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you increasing? I mean, through your Sunday school teacher, through the preaching here, through your daily Bible reading, are you increasing in the knowledge of Jesus? If you are, then the joy will grow as your knowledge of Him grows. We should never be satisfied with where we're at, ever. But we should continue to increase in the knowledge of Him. Are you increasing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior? Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation. The joy of the Lord. The joy grows, our joy grows the more we know about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How's your personal relationship with Him? All relationships are impacted by how much you know. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. We thank You for Your grace and mercy that You extended to us. We thank You that You've given us a Bible in order that we might know You. That You've given us a Bible that we might read and Lord, to grow in the wisdom and stature that You have given us. I pray, God, tonight that each of us would look upon our hearts. That each of us tonight would come to You in a way, Lord, humble, God, that we might have the joy of the Lord. We thank You so much for what You're going to do. In Jesus